This is your source for breaking news
and what to make of it all.
This is the Mike Gallagher Show.
Well, I'd like you to answer the question.
Mr. Yes. Vice President, I'm speaking. I'm speaking.
I think we're going to win this election because President Donald Trump has launched a movement of everyday Americans from every walk of life. President Trump cut taxes across the board. The average American family of four had $2,000 in savings in taxes.
No, I'm not going to waste my time on a virtual debate. That's not what debating's all about.
Now, from the ReliefFactor.com studios, here's Mike Gallagher.
After last night's first and only vice presidential debate, if I told you that one of the prominent Never Trumpers went on national TV and said that the fly that landed on Vice President Pence's head is a sign historically of sin and is therefore the mark of the devil, and he was serious, would you believe me? I bet you would, because it happened. Even the MSNBC host was shocked at the lunacy and the idiocy of and the desperation of a remark like that. But you can't make this stuff up. When I hear things like that, I think, okay, I'm liking our chances because they're obviously losing their marbles. Welcome in the day after the first and only vice presidential debate. And breaking news about the next presidential debate scheduled for a week from today. The presidential committee on debates has announced, and this all happened today, that there won't be an in-person debate next week. It's going to be done virtually. And the president of the United States said, no way. The president said, I'm not going to sit in front of a computer. I'm not going to do a debate that way. I started my day, as I often do, with a dear friend of mine, a radio colleague, Mark Davis. And Mark, as that news was breaking, said, oh, it's great. I love it. I love it. I love it. He shouldn't do it virtually. And, of course, my concern, because I'm a worrier, just like I think we're all worried to some extent, is that if there's no more debates between Trump and Biden, that's not a good thing. And you can try to say, oh, it'll be fine and we're great. The president has an opportunity to once again reinforce his record and handle Joe Biden in a debate. If there was a hitch to the first debate, a lot of observers felt the president could have been less interruptive a little bit. I mean, you know, Donald Trump is Donald Trump. You know what his personality is. He's gonna go for the jugular. But Joe Biden gave as good as he got. Joe Biden didn't roll over, and the two of them need to debate. Joe Biden doesn't want to debate, and I've said that all along. And if Joe Biden can try to coast to November 3rd without another debate, that's a win for the Biden-Harris team. I don't know if it's a win that translates into an election victory, but he doesn't want to go on that stage with Donald Trump again. And Mark had a really good, you know, sort of alternative. All right, maybe there's not any debate next week, but another week or two after that, there will be an in-person debate. The problem is with coronavirus, it could take till after the election before President Trump receives a negative COVID-19 diagnosis. As I understand it, the window could be anywhere from 10 days to 4 weeks. And Biden is going to cling to the COVID diagnosis and the COVID positive test result as the reason he doesn't have to face Trump in a debate again. Here's what the president said this morning, his first, sit-down interview after his hospitalization for COVID at Walter Reed. He was talking with Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business.
I heard that the commission a little while ago changed the debate style, and that's not acceptable to us.
Well, are you saying you're not going to participate?
No, I'm not going to waste my time on a virtual debate. That's not what debating's all about. You sit behind a computer and do a debate. It's ridiculous. Yeah, we learned it the same way you learned it. They called up 2 minutes ago, and it was announced. And they're trying to protect Biden. Everybody is.
Of course they are. Everybody from Chris Wallace, Susan Page, the moderators that were obviously very biased and slanted towards the Democrats, the media, the whole universe is against Trump, Pence, and but Mike Pence acquitted the Trump Pence record very well last night. Last night's debate was I loved last night's debate. I appreciated policy differences. I appreciated seeing two diametrically opposed views uninterrupted for the most part. I loved that. I absolutely loved it last night. We saw, as I keep saying, a conservative Midwesterner from Indiana versus a radical liberal, real radical liberal Democrat from San Francisco. And both of those views were on full display last night. Mike Pence, by just about every objective poll, won, and he won decisively. Now we got to move on to the next one. Ronna McDaniel told Fox News this morning that a virtual debate is not good for voters. Now, there are three scheduled debates. There's a third one. So maybe next week is off, and the final debate will be the deciding factor. And I don't want to, again, I'm not trying to throw a wet blanket on anything, but I'm also trying to be realistic and fair and objective. That's what we always try to be as we welcome you in to the ReliefFactor.com studios and the Mike Gallagher Show. It is Thursday, October the 8th, 2020, and I'm glad you're here. Let's get your take on all of it. Are you a little troubled by the possibility of no more Trump-Biden debates? How does the Trump team navigate a coronavirus diagnosis and a test with what Biden is going to do to try to avoid the debate? 1-800-655-MIKE, 800-655-6453. Join us.
I wear my sunglasses at night so I can watch you weave and breathe your storylines. And I wear my sunglasses at night so I can keep track of the visions in my eyes.
A traveling show. My mama used to dance for the money they'd throw. Mama would do whatever he could.
Mike Gallagher.
Hi, Mike. I agree with President Trump. The cards are already stacked against him with the moderator. There's no way I would do the virtual debate. I agree with him totally because they will have monitors, they will have earpieces, they will have everything there for him to help him out. No way.
Hey, I don't have a problem with debates going virtual, as long as Biden's got a giant mirror behind him so we can see everything that he's looking at.
Like the teleprompter? They've already caught him talking, answering questions using a teleprompter with the glare in the glass and everything. But you know what? We can go down that conspiracy theory rabbit hole. We got a debate next week scheduled. They got a third debate scheduled. I don't think the president is inclined to do a virtual debate. And it's, listen, it's troublesome. This whole issue is tough, but is it any tougher than the president was in the hospital a month before the election? Is there anything more troubling than debate moderators biased against the president? Is there anything more troublesome than the entire media machine and the Never Trumpers and all of them pounding away and doing everything they can to impact this election the way they want it? And listen, the whole year. Racial unrest, coronavirus, the economy struggling because of the need to shut down. And then, of course, the debate about opening up. We know how tough this year is. We know how hard it is. And one more thing that is just, to me, a bridge too far is the possibility of not one more debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. That's a problem. I think. Maybe you disagree. Let's find out. 800-655-MIKE. Here's Will. Hey, Will. Welcome. How you doing?
Hey, Mike. I'm just fine.
Good.
You make a lot of good points, Mike, but I still think that the virtual reality thing is out of the question. He's already got the moderators going in up against him. Now, I know you're a friend of Chris Wallace, excuse me, but, you know, Chris Wallace didn't let our president talk enough or talk too much. and he didn't allow Joe Biden to talk enough.
Well, of course, and that's the same thing last night. And by, incidentally, we used to do a hit. I haven't spoken to Chris in years, so it's been a long time since I've even had a conversation with Chris. But I get it. I mean, he had a rough first debate. He was mad last night post-debate. He seemed angry and claimed it was a draw. Anybody who watched that debate and said it was a draw last night between Mike Pence and Kamala Harris is either really delusional or not being fair.
And that's kind of my point, Mike. The moderator is going in. We know the next moderator is not a Trump fan either.
Nobody's going to be. But so what? So what? Listen, consider this, Trump. Consider this about Trump, Will. Trump is great on TV. He's a creature of TV. A virtual debate is not going to be him sitting in front of a laptop. They're going to have production elements. It'll be like a TV show. I don't think we should sell him short in his ability to deliver his message to the American people, whether it's online or whether it's on a stage.
I don't think we should sell the Democrats short of what they're capable of.
Oh, I know.
That's all I'm saying.
I got you. All right, Will, let's see what others say. I'm glad you called. 800-655-MIKE. I get his resistance to it. I really do. I understand not wanting to do a virtual debate, but he's got a debate. He's got to be on that stage, and Biden doesn't want to be on a debate stage. But I guarantee you, just like he did with trying to negotiate with Pelosi on the economic stimulus, he's negotiating. He said, shut it down. Let's just focus on Amy Coney Barrett. We're not going to negotiate anymore. Then he went right back to the negotiating table saying, hey, Pelosi, I want to get $1,200 into the hands of struggling Americans. I want to assist small businesses. Let's go. Here's how we can do it. And, of course, she's resisting because she doesn't want to help the American people. All she's worried about is getting Biden elected. He's a negotiator. He's a master negotiator. So I'm hopeful that his refusal to do the virtual debate is just the step one of a negotiation. 800-655-MIKE. Joe, you're on the Mike Gallagher Show. Hi, Joe.
Yes. When are they going to get an unbiased moderator, somebody that's going to be fair about it?
They're not going to get one. It's not going to happen, Joe. It's just not. That's like saying, when's the media going to be fair? They're not going to be. You know what I mean?
I got disgusted with it.
Yeah.
She could talk, but every time he tried to say anything, they tried to stop him. So I just got disgusted with it.
You're right. I was too. Let me give you a specific example. Here's Vice President. Listen to this little montage, and Susan, whatever her name was, Collins, lecturing, haranguing, scolding Susan Page. Rather, here's a montage of her scolding Vice President Pence for not following the debate rules that the Pence team agreed to.
Susan, the American people deserve to know.
Vice President Pence, I did not, excuse me,
Susan,
I did not create the rules for tonight.
Joe Biden.
Your campaigns agreed to the rules for tonight's debate with the Commission on Presidential Debates. I'm here to enforce them, which involves moving from one topic to another, giving roughly equal time to both of you, which is what I'm trying very hard to do.
Go right ahead. If we did everything right, Susan, we could still lose more than 200,000 Americans.
Vice President
Pence. Now, one life lost is too many, Susan. And not just mandates with the coronavirus, but a government takeover of health care.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Green New Deal, all government control.
Now, here's an example of Kamala Harris breaking the time limit rules, too. And Susan Page just sat there and said, okay, no problem. You go ahead. You've got the floor, Senator Harris.
On the other hand, you have Donald Trump, who's in court right now, trying to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, which means that you will lose protections if you have pre-existing conditions. And this is very important, Susan.
Yes,
and it's important.
But we need to give Vice President.
He interrupted me, and I'd like to just finish, please. If you have a pre-existing condition, heart disease, diabetes, breast cancer, they're coming for you. If you love someone who has a pre-existing condition,
they're
coming for you. If you are under the age of 26 on your parents' coverage, they're coming for you.
Senator Harris, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let me give you a chance to respond.
Didn't say a word. When she went over her time, I'd like a chance to respond. Now, he interrupted me. And then, okay, go ahead. And that was not even the best example. There was even a better example at one point in the debate where Kamala Harris essentially said, I have something to say. I'm going to be heard. Okay, go ahead. Just go along. Doesn't matter. We're never going to get a fair debate, moderator. You know it. We're not going to get, there's not going to be a sense of fairness. That's why you got to vote. That's why you got to vote in a big way. You got to vote. You got to go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com. Portions of our show brought to you by the Job Creators Network. They've come up with a brilliant, brilliant tool to put you in touch with the voting process. Go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com. We're trying to get to 1 million people to sign up and to go to this site, and we're getting close. Hundreds of thousands of you have done it. We need to make this the biggest get-out-the-vote effort in history, one that the unfair mediators, the unfair debate moderators, the unfair mainstream media cannot ignore. Do your part. Go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com. KeepAmericaAmerica.com. We know voting has started. Listen, we got to be energized and we got to fight. You always say to me, what can I do, Mike? Go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com. Brought to you by Job Creators Network.
Mike Gallagher Show.
Joe Biden will not ban fracking.
Senator Harris, you're entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. You yourself said on multiple occasions when you were running for president that you would ban fracking. They have a $2 trillion version of the Green New Deal, Susan, that your newspaper, USA Today, said really wasn't that very different from the original Green New Deal. More taxes, more regulation, and economic surrender to China is a prescription for economic decline.
In the ReliefFactor.com studios, here's Mike.
I sit in this studio every day just so gratified that I get to do this with you, that I get surrounded by listeners who lift this show up and support what we do. I'm so profoundly grateful for companies that we partner with, like Squad Pod. Portions of our show are brought to you by Squad Pod. It's a team communication and collaboration platform founded on protecting privacy, intellectual property, and free speech. It's real, real cool the way this works. And we're doing some things that you're going to love. But I want you to get started with Squad Pod. It was created for businesses, nonprofits, sales teams, and organizations. But now everyone can use it. You can use it at home or with your friends. It's real easy. You invite people to join your team called a squad. And then you can chat. You can have organized discussions, video calls, screen share, store files, and so much more. Squad Pod is made, stored, and operated in the USA, so there's no interference from foreign entities or governments. Stop supporting the big tech companies. They spy on their customers. They sell data. They can't keep their platforms safe. Well, go to squadpod.com/Mike G. Join my squad. My producer, Derek, posts great content there every day. You can get you're going to get an early entree into Team Gallagher's squad. Visit squadpod.com/Mike G. Squadpod.com/Mike G. It's easily together wherever, and be a part of this great family. Squadpod.com/Mike G. I also am so grateful for Mike Lindell. I just got some news this morning. They've got a new product coming out. My Pillow is at it again. Mike Lindell has done it again. He's already come up with the best pillow known to mankind. The best pillow, the pillow that never goes flat during the night, the pillow that stays nice and cool, the pillow you can throw in the washer and the dryer as often as you want. It still retains its shape, its form. It gives your neck a little hug. Everybody loves this pillow. I mean, everybody.
I've got a couple of pillows, and they're very good. I have to tell you, they're great. I've slept so much better ever since.
We all have, Mr. President. And the Giza Dream Sheets are the smoothest, softest, most comfortable sheets you'll ever get. Because you listen to the Mike Gallagher Show, you get a huge discount when you enter the promo code MikeG. Buy one premium MyPillow, get the second one absolutely free. Get the Giza Dream Sheets. Amazing, amazing. You get two sets of Giza Dream Sheets from the best cotton on earth. Smooth, soft, comfortable. Two sets for one low price plus free shipping. The doggy beds are made from the same patented fill as the pillow itself. $19.99 when you use the promo code MikeG. That mattress topper takes any bed and turns it into the most comfortable bed in the world, 3 inches of heaven. 30% off and a pair of free My Pillows when you place the when you add the promo code Mike G. And wait till you hear the new product that Mike has come up with. They're going to send me a little sample, and I can't wait. It's something I have all listen. Truly, something I want, and it has to do with a great night's sleep. MyPillow.com. Look for the little Gallagher Listener Special box, the Mike Gallagher Listener Special. You'll see the picture of Mike Lindell and me in the box there. Click on that, and then with any order you place, just enter the promo code Mike G to get these big discounts. MyPillow.com, promo code Mike G. MyPillow.com, promo code Mike G, or call 800-928-6034, 800-928-6034. Promo code Mike G, like we love to sing.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Promo code Mike G. Let's go right back to our phone calls. Joe, you're on the Mike Gallagher Show in the ReliefFactor.com studios. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Hey, I definitely think we need to have the second debate, whether it's virtual or live. We need to have it, but we need to make sure, and I hope that President Trump does not come out like a bull in a china shop again, because the votes that are still out there that matter, those swing votes, those people are not necessarily voting on policy. They're voting on the persona of who's going to be their president, and he needs to win those people over, and unfortunately, I hate to say it, but I don't think he did that in the first debate.
Well, but he will, though, and I understand your point, but he will, and he has an ability. So let's remember something. Joe Biden has been in politics and has been a government official for 47 years. Donald Trump was a reality show TV star and a real estate mogul. He's been in politics under 4 years. So even though he's good on TV. If Donald Trump does anything, it's pivot and adjust and deliver. And, you know, speaking of swing state voters, who are undecided, last night, once you could suffer through the misery of Donna Brazile and Britt Hume babbling about Pence breaking the time rules and Chris Wallace, who just seemed real angry last night and said it was a draw, wasn't a draw. And Frank Luntz points out the inevitable, the obvious. Frank Luntz had a focus group or a panel of 15 swing voters, and this was analysis that to me made so much sense, and it was true. It was truthful.
Yes, we did. We had 15 swing voters, undecided voters, from 8 different undecided states, and they gave us 3 conclusions, and Brett will show it on your show tomorrow. But the complaint about Kamala Harris was that she was abrasive and condescending. The complaint about Mike Pence was that he was too tired, but vice presidential or presidential. If this is a battle over style and substance, which is often the case with undecided voters, because they simply do not choose on policy, they also choose on persona. This was Mike Pence's night. I want to emphasize, it's not that Pence did so well. It's that they felt, because they felt that both candidates were not answering the questions as well as they would have liked. They thought that Kamala made a greater effort to take down Donald Trump and the Trump-Pence administration, whereas Mike Pence did a better job in explaining what the Trump-Pence administration had done. And third is that they were more upset with Kamala Harris's reactions to Pence, the smiling, the smirking, the scowling. They were angrier at that than they were that Mike Pence went over his time in almost every debate. I got to say one thing to Britt. Voters do not like it when candidates run long. And when they run long every time, they think that that's an example of being undisciplined and unfocused. However, they were more agitated with Kamala's presentation than they were with Mike Pence not sticking to time.
Incidentally, that was a split screen showing a scowling Britt Hume. I like Britt. You know, I like his analysis. That was his first takeaway post-debate. Why was I watching Fox News last night? Ugh. What are you going to do? It is. It seems to be a different place than it used to be. Meanwhile, over on MSNBC, when you've lost an MSNBC host, you've probably gone over the top. You got to hear this goofy never Trumper take This is a guy who's part of this organization funding gazillions of dollars into the effort to stop Trump. And, of course, as this is a group of Republicans who, of course, have totally lifted it up and embraced the Biden-Harris ticket. You got to hear this because there was a funny moment last night when the fly landed on Pence's head. And hey, credit to the Biden team. They somehow found a fly swatter and got Biden to put hold a fly swatter in his hand, and they took a picture of him and put that on social media. It was very funny. You know, there's this fly on Mike Pence's white hair for 2 minutes. Now, they've all had flies. Hillary Clinton had a fly in her face in 2016. Barack Obama once had a fly land right on his upper lip. Remember that picture? That's all over social media, too. But that doesn't slow down the crazed never-Trumpers. You want to hear some lunacy? Listen to how the never-Trumper talks about the evil of Mike Pence, hence the fly, and even the MSNBC host is shocked and thought he was joking. Spoiler alert, he wasn't.
And not for nothing. I mean, I don't think it's ever a good sign when a fly lands on your head for 2 minutes. You know, that's a sign all through history of sin, and historically, biblically, maybe you wouldn't normally say this after, you wouldn't, it's only safe to say this, sorry, after midnight, but, you know, a fly, he who commands the fly has always been seen historically as the mark of the devil. So I'm just
well,
I'm not
Steve,
relevant, having the fly.
Now, as a journalist, I have to ask for the record, are you joking? Because the fly could have landed on anyone.
Yes. But it didn't. It landed on Mike Pence, and it says something.
It says something. Yeah, it says something, all right. Okay. 17 minutes before the hour. Meanwhile, there was a really positive, inspirational message from Vice President Pence toward the end. And I know that we seem to be at each other's throats, and there's a lot of divisiveness in America. But we can be unified. And we ought to be unified. And there was an eighth grader who sent in a written question. And I thought Pence's answer was so profound. And I want to play it for you if you missed it, because it was maybe it was a part of why I loved last night's debate. I did. Every bit of it. I liked hearing both sides largely uninterrupted. And the contrast couldn't have been clearer. And that last night represents the difference between 4 more years of Trump-Pence or what would happen under a Biden-Harris administration. There's a lot more of the Mike Gallagher Show on this busy, busy Thursday coming up.
Want to see the news clips you hear on Mike's show? We live stream at MikeOnline.com. And then feature show highlights on our YouTube channel. Subscribe to the Mike Gallagher Show YouTube channel. And be sure to click on the bell to get notified for all the new clips we post.
Happening to Fox News? We've got Donna Brazile, we got Britt Hume, we got Wallace. They're all going against Trump. I'm leaving Fox News. I can't take it anymore. The only thing we have left is Lou Dobbs and Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, hey, Mike, you are the greatest, buddy. Just a quick thought. Trump should say, yeah, we'll do the virtual debate, but I can pick the monitor. How about you, Hannity? Somebody's got to really, really, really ask some tough questions.
I love a debate where you see such a stark contrast, a difference. We have a choice November the 3rd, and we all know it. And frankly, there's a lot of people on the left, there's a lack of humanity, a real stunning lack of humanity. The left and the media, they keep reminding us how many thousands have died from COVID, and yet They perhaps secretly, sometimes not so secretly, think COVID is a great thing for their party. Jane Fonda, a lifelong activist, was on some interview on Zoom or whatever this week. Listen to this really, really dumbfounding lack of humanity about COVID and politics.
What a tremendous opportunity. We're just so lucky. We have to use it with every ounce of intelligence and courage and wherewithal we have. Because you're absolutely right. This is it. This is it. And, you know, I just think COVID is God's gift to the left.
Wow. It ends with a chuckle. God's gift to the left. So when you hear all the virtue signaling and all of the attacks, if you don't have a mask on 24/7, if you're not properly socially distancing, perhaps Jane Fonda just, you know, as they like to say, spoke truth to power. They think COVID is God's gift to the left. It's disgusting. But I'm optimistic about this contrast and perhaps countering the lack of humanity exhibited by Jane Fonda and so many others, the lack of decency or just goodness, was the vice president wrapping up the debate last night. The moderator gave both of the candidates a chance to respond to an eighth grader who wrote in a question that said, all I do is see people fighting, where everybody's fighting. Politicians are fighting. There's all this arguing on cable news. And I just really appreciated Vice President Pence's answer.
Brecklin, it's a wonderful question. And let me just commend you for taking an interest in public life. I started following the news when I was very young. And in America, we believe in a free and open exchange of debate. And we celebrate that. And it's how we've created literally the freest and most prosperous nation in the history of the world. But I would tell you that don't assume that what you're seeing on your local news networks is synonymous with the American people. You know, I look at the relationship between Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the late justice who we just lost from the Supreme Court, and the late Justice Antonin Scalia. They were on polar opposites on the Supreme Court of the United States, one very liberal, one very conservative. But what's been learned since her passing was the two of them and their families were the very closest of friends. I mean, here in America, we can disagree. We can debate vigorously, as Senator Harris and I have on this stage tonight. But when the debate is over, we come together as Americans. And that's what people do in big cities and small towns all across this country. So I just want to encourage you, Brecklin. I want to tell you that we're going to work every day to have government as good as our people. And the American people each and every day love a good debate. We love a good argument. But we always come together and are always there for one another.
Thank you,
in times of need. And we've especially learned that through the difficulties of this year.
It was a real powerful moment, and it's a reminder of the difference, frankly, between the two sides. Leah Barkukas over at Town Hall wrote, for conservatives watching last night's vice presidential debate, it was obvious Mike Pence crushed it. He managed to educate the American people about how far left the Biden-Harris ticket truly is on a number of key issues, including the Supreme Court, the Green New Deal, fossil fuels, tax cuts, foreign policy, criminal justice reform, and more. Pence was most effective in pointing out how far left the Biden-Harris Democrats have moved. Leah writes, with Trump's personal antics sucking up all the media attention, voters haven't heard much about Biden's $2 trillion in spending over 4 years on the Green New Deal, $4 trillion of tax increases that will reach into the working class through higher business and corporate rates, their goal of eliminating fossil fuels that would cost jobs and raise energy prices, and the Biden record on foreign policy that includes opposing the raid on Osama bin Laden. They heard it last night. Great job, Mike Pence, and now onward and upward. I know we're in for a wild ride, but again, I'm grateful that we can spend time every day together trying to navigate it. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to Eric, Pavs, Derek, Joey, Doc, and the team. Have a great Thursday. Be safe and keep fighting the good fight. I'm Mike Gallagher. God bless America.